Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather as your people, be with us through your word and in spirit. Guide us into all truth as we present ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. People of God, do you know what you want? Do you ever get what you want? You know, kids are particularly good at making it clear what they want, especially, for example, around birthdays or Christmas time, right? Here's some excerpts from some real letters to Santa that some kids wrote. You'll see that some of the children have higher expectations than others. Dear Santa, I want a puppy. I want a playhouse. Thank you. I've been good most of the time. Sometimes I'm wild. Dear Santa, I'm not going to ask for a lot. Here's my list. The Etch-A-Sketch animator, two packs of number two pencils, Crayola fat markers, and the big one, my own color TV. Well, maybe you could drop the pencils. I don't want to be selfish. Here's one, sounds like it was written by one of my grandchildren. Dear Santa, I'll take anything because I haven't been that good. You know, for some people, life is all about getting what you want. Some people put a lot of effort into making sure that they get everything that they want. But in spite of people's best efforts, not everyone gets what they want in life. And even after people do get what they want, they usually find out that what they wanted isn't what they wanted after all. Our text for this morning in Luke chapter 2 talks about a man who got everything he wanted in life. The man's name was Simeon. And Simeon was promised by God that he would get to see the promised Savior. He wouldn't die before that happened. So when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, the Holy Spirit whispered to Simeon, "This is it. This is the Messiah who you've been waiting for." And Simeon took Jesus in his arms and he blessed him and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now you can let your servant depart in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." You know, we sing that frequently as a part of the liturgy. Do you remember where it's sung? Right after communion, because we too have held Jesus in our hands in the body and blood of the sacrament. In essence, what Simeon was saying here is, my life is complete, I'm fulfilled, I have everything I want, there's nothing else that I want, I've seen Jesus, the Messiah, I held him in my arms, and I can die. Because there's nothing else that I need. And it's often assumed that Simeon was a kind of an old and frail man with one foot in the grave. But Luke doesn't tell us his physical condition or his age. Later on in the chapter, Luke talks about the prophetess Anna, who was a very old woman. But Simeon may have been in great health. Maybe he was 30 years old. Lots of years left in his life. But once he saw Jesus, he had it all. He didn't want anything else. We don't know if Simeon lived a long time after seeing Jesus or if he died the next day. What we do know is that Simeon got exactly what he wanted in life. He got to see Jesus. And once he saw Jesus, his life was completely fulfilled. He was ready to die. Because he had seen the Lord. You know, that's a little unusual. Today when people say they're ready to die or when they talk about being ready to die, it's usually because they're so discouraged or in such poor health. And maybe you know someone who was so discouraged that life didn't seem to be worth living anymore. That person felt so empty that he or she didn't want to go on living. Or maybe the death of someone close to you, or a broken relationship, or Some other tragedy has caused you yourself to say or to pray, Lord, take me now. I'm ready to go home. Life is more than I can handle. You know, there's a lot of discouragement out there. And sometimes the outlook of our lives seems so bleak that we feel like we would rather just die instead of facing life. And Simeon, too, he was ready to die. But see how his attitude was totally the opposite. He's ready to die not because his life is so empty, but because it's so full. So full of joy, so content, so happy, that he knows that whatever might happen to him in the future could never compare to what he already has received. He had it all. He was ready to go. Wouldn't it be nice to feel that kind of joy and fulfillment? What would it do to you? What would it do for you? What would make your life completely fulfilled? What would make you so completely happy that anything else in life or anything else in the world, anything that might happen, would pale in comparison? What is it that you want? I don't know what your dream in life is, or was, or has been. What is it that you want? A lot of people dream about being successful in their career, making a lot of money. Some people have a dream house, working for the dream house that they're saving money to buy, or a special vacation home that they would like to own someday. Some people, their dream is to raise children that they can be proud of. Some young folks, maybe old folks too, dream of doing well in sports and playing on a championship team or playing in the pros or something like that. Others work hard at school, dream of getting scholarships or great job offers. Retirees often dream of traveling the world and seeing the things that they always wished they could see. Others dream of staying at home, tired of traveling around. You know, there's nothing wrong with those dreams or any dream that you might have. But I can assure you of this one thing: achieving your dream will not make you so happy that you're ready to die. No matter what that dream is, when you attain it, you're not going to be so happy that you're ready to die. There's only one thing that can give us perfect and complete satisfaction in life, and that is a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than that, because even if you fulfill every other dream that you have, without Jesus, it means absolutely nothing. A few years ago, some of you will remember this, Budweiser commercial on TV. Remember the byline? It said, "When you've said Budweiser, you've said it all." Remember that? What a ridiculous message! Drinking a Budweiser is the ultimate in life. I mean, that's it. But Simeon could say, "When you've seen the Messiah, or when you've got the Messiah, you've got it all." Knowing Jesus is the ultimate experience in life. Nothing in the world even comes close to matching it. Now, I think you're probably all pretty much in agreement with me by now, and if what I've said is true, then knowing Jesus is the ultimate, then we have a problem. We have a problem because we don't live like knowing Jesus is the ultimate experience in life. If someone is an enthusiast about something, let's say scuba diving enthusiast, you know, every time you talk to them, they talk about scuba diving. They want to get you to try it out, right? Or if you go to a new restaurant and it was really good, what do? You tell all your friends, you should try this restaurant, you should try it, it's really good. Or if you see a good movie, right? Every time you talk to somebody, you say, this movie was really good. You recommend it to everybody. So if we believe that Jesus is the ultimate experience in life, then it should somehow show up in our conversations and in our interactions with people. Now, for me, in order for me to make that a reality, one thing that needs to happen is that I need to realize that knowing Jesus is absolutely the best thing that ever happened to me. I need to realize that. I need to once again feel the excitement of knowing that because of Jesus, my sins are forgiven. I need to feel the peace that comes from knowing that no matter what this life brings, my future is secure. I need to feel the urgency then of sharing this Jesus experience with others so that they can have what I have. Just like I would recommend a good movie or a good restaurant, I need to be ready to recommend a good Savior, the one who covers all of our errors and promises us an eternal destination. Let's take just a moment to remind ourselves why Jesus is the ultimate experience in life. Because on our own, we haven't done so well. We've offended God. We haven't done the things that He wanted us to do, and the things that He doesn't want us to do, that's what we did. We haven't lived up to our own expectations, much less God's expectations. And those sins push us away from God and make us fear God rather than loving Him and following Him. But in spite of that, God never stopped loving us. He never stopped coming after us. He came to us at Christmas, born in Bethlehem, born in a manger, took on human flesh and blood to live among us. God became one of us. He had the full human experience. And we know why He did that. God became one of us so that He could take your place and my place. That He could take our place and receive the punishment that was rightly ours, but He would take it for us. He gave His life for us, for you and me on the cross, and then rose again. God died for you and me to forgive us our sins and forgive us even from the guilt of sin. Jesus gave His life so that we can have a new start, a new beginning, a new relationship with God. God calls you His children. You are His sons and His daughters. He loves you. And He has a special plan for you and a special place for you. We have been forgiven by God and welcomed into His family. And since God has forgiven us, we can have a new outlook on life. It's not all about, life isn't all about the one who climbs the highest or climbs the ladder the fastest, or ends up with the most toys. That's not what it's all about. Life is all about living in a relationship with a loving God. A God who knows you, who loves you, and who cares about you. It's about fulfilling your purpose by exercising and using the gifts that God has given to you. And as we do the things that God has prepared beforehand for us, we will find joy and contentment. So don't be content with going through life without knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is more important than anything else we can imagine. But it's a dream within our grasp. More important than the dream house, than the vacation home, than the world travels. Jesus is right there. It's within our grasp. As we turn to Jesus and confess our sins, we receive His forgiveness, and we trust in Him through faith as our Lord and Savior. In a very real way, what Simeon experienced is true for each one of us. We may not be able to hold the baby in our arms, but we hold Christ as we receive His body and blood in the sacraments. And each of us can know that Messiah personally. We have a relationship with our Jesus as our friend, our brother, our Savior, our Lord, and our King. as by faith we enter into that relationship with him. We're at the still towards the beginning of the new year. As we look ahead to 2025, start it off right by once again remembering and giving thanks to God for this most incredible, the most special gift, the gift of forgiveness and new life in Jesus Christ. In 2025, let's make this our goal, to find our fulfillment in Jesus. In his holy name, amen.